thank you for that warm welcome, Malcolm, and welcome everybody. So tonight's subject is, can I lose my salvation? But I'm also going to be covering, was I really saved? Or am I really saved? So that's going to be in there as well. Can I just have a quick straw poll? Has anyone in the room not asked that question? Has anyone in the room never asked themselves a question, can I lose my salvation or am I really saved? Okay, so at least for this audience, it's a relevant question. And I think it is a relevant question. It's kind of a big question. It's one of those big, important questions that when you are a believer, matter to you. So I'm going to have a look at it tonight, and we're all going to look at it together. Hopefully we will share our various views, and I'll open up some scriptures for you to think about. Okay, so what we're going to do tonight is there's basically six parts, and I thought about making seven to make a perfectly biblical number, but then I thought that I would just be manipulating it for the sake of producing seven. So what we've got is we're going to be starting off with, what does salvation mean, and what does being saved mean? Because if we're going to try and answer the question, we need to basically look at the question first and decide the parameters under which we are going to be that we're going to be looking at. The second part is we're going to be looking at is, where do we think we are with regard to salvation and being saved? We'll then look at, are we where we think we are? And then we're going to look at, was I ever really saved? Can I lose my salvation? And we'll conclude with, how can I be sure of my salvation, if that makes sense? So what we've got is, I've got a handout which I will give you at the end, but in the meantime, we're going to work our way through the question. I've got a question sheet, and for every part apart from one, there are some questions. So we'll, as we go into each part, I'll ask you to answer the questions in advance of covering what we're doing, and then we'll move on, and so on and so forth. And it should flow fairly logically. But before I do that, I would like to give you the opportunity to ask any questions that you have on this subject, or anything that particularly concerns you that you would like to try to cover. Okay, fine. All right. So let's. I'll hand out the question sheet, and then if you want to be getting on with those for the first maybe 5-10 minutes, and then we'll come back and we'll look at them together. Just stopping the tape. So for the tape, the questions are: what are the assumptions of the question, which is, can I lose my salvation? How would you define salvation? If you can remember, what was said when you came to faith, either the prayer, what you were told, or what you were shown from the Bible. And then the fourth question is, how would you lead someone else to faith using the Bible?
Yes, correct.
There's something, one of the assumptions is, there's something to be saved from. Good.
That you need to know that you need to be saved.
That you need to know. Well, yeah, depends what you're saved from. As to how important it is. So you might need to know, you might not. It might be a need to know, might be a nice to know. Sorry, Sal, and then I'll take John.
Oh, sorry. The person isn't sure or convinced that they have been saved, which is why they're asking.
Yes. So the assumption is that if you can lose something, the assumption is that you had it in the first place.
Yes.
So and now you're in a position where you're not sure if you've lost it. If that makes sense. But the assumption is that it could be had in the first place. Yeah.
That salvation is possible and desirable.
Yes. Possible, desirable, and the other thing with my, the other P, another P, it's personal. Okay? My salvation. Okay, good. And then I guess the final thing, expanding Jonathan's point slightly, that salvation is possible, but not just possible, but that it can be defined. We need to, if it's undefinable, then it's not really a question, is it? You have to be able to define, in this case, it's the subject, salvation. Yeah? Okay, so let's just have a look at that. So, definitions of salvation, please, folks.
Accepting Christ gives a gift of eternal life, being born into his family as a child of God, i.e. believing and belonging.
Okay.
You believe and you've accepted, therefore you belong because you're a child.
Good element. Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. That contains a lot of things. But what is the key underlying theme of salvation?
To believe in God.
Repentance.
And live a life loving him. A total acceptance that God is our creator.
Okay. Good as well.
Say eternal
Eternal life with him is a part of it, but in salvation, what is there in there?
Reconciled to God.
Reconciled to God, yeah.
Yes, accepted.
The first few letters, just twiddle those around a bit.
The idea of rescue.
Yeah, of being saved. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to talk about salvation unless you talk about what you're saved from. Otherwise, it's not salvation, is it? It's all of the elements that you said were true, but it needs to have...
Saved from a life of sin.
Saved from a life of sin, that's part of it.
Saved from judgment.
Saved from judgment, also part of it. All you guys are kind of around the topic. You just might want to think about how you might tighten that up just a little bit to explain to someone else that included all the points. So I'll just offer something for you as a definition. Salvation is deliverance from the power of sin in this life and from the consequences of sin in the next.
Believing and saving?
Yeah, is it Jesus who saves? So you can...
You've got to believe in saving.
You have to, yes. We can talk about what it means, how you do it, but salvation itself... salvation has a theological sense and has a non-theological sense. The sense we're using it today has a theological sense, and it relates to deliverance from sin and the consequences of sin. So it's hard to talk about salvation, even if you look at a dictionary, and not have sin in it.
We're also saved from, but also unto.
Yes. So you can, when you wanted to expand it, that's what you could expand it into. So you're saved from the power of sin into the freedom of life with Christ. You're saved from eternal life in hell to eternal life in heaven. So so salvation, just deliverance from the power of sin in this life and from the consequences of sin in the next, as a starting point, which you could then use to expand and to explain the role that Jesus plays in that, etc., etc. But, you know, as a one sentence, that's reasonably tight, which I think summarises the essence of the word. Okay, so in order to have salvation, we need to be saved. Can anyone remember what it was they were told or prayed? If someone prayed a prayer with them, what were the elements in the prayer? Or what were you told that you needed to do to be saved? Or what were you shown from God's word that you needed to be saved? Can anyone remember? So in other words, what was the assumptions that you had at the point that you came to faith? Yeah?
Well, in my case, it was learning the Lord's Prayer at the age of 11.
Okay. All right.
That's when things started to connect with me.
Yes. Okay. So that was a starting point of a conversion. Yeah?
Now, I was in my early teens at the time. And I remember they explained all about everything to me that's been covered. And then they said, pray John 3:16, for God so loved the world.
Yeah.
That whosoever that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him is saved. And they said to me, now Dorothy, so that you make this is what God has done for you. Put your name in the whosoever. So I prayed,
yeah,
for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that I, Dorothy, who believe on him,
yeah,
and have eternal life.
Okay.
Therefore I accepted and I was born into it.
Okay.
As I say, I was a teenager at the time.
Thank you, Dorothy. Yeah, good.
I was going to say, I think you need to accept that you're a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to say sorry.
Yeah. It's good. It's good. That is the starting point. If you don't start there, you can't come in. I know that sounds like a bit of a strange thing to say, but, you know, when we say, did Jesus come to save everyone? Yes, he did, but he didn't come to save those who think they're good enough. He said, I haven't come to save the righteous, I've come to save sinners. So if you think you're good enough, Jesus can't save you. You have to basically admit where you are relative to him, and that's the starting point for coming to faith. Why do you think I'm asking this question?
Well, so we know where we begin, because I've said, I believe Jesus died for me. It is very personal.
Yeah. The reason that I'm asking this question is because I think it's relevant to was I saved? Because I don't know what was said when you thought that you came to faith or when you did come to faith, but I do know what the Bible says that you need, where you needed to start from. So it's important that when we come to look at later, am I really saved? Was I really saved? It's important to understand where you started from, or at least understand what it is that you now believe, if that makes sense. Okay, we'll come back to that later. And then does anyone who's not on the leadership team like to have, is anyone confident that they could use the Bible to lead someone to faith? Does anyone like to do that? So here I am, I'm a non-Christian. I've just walked in and I've said, hey guys, I hear you that you are Christians, and I'm kind of curious about that. I've looked into it, I've looked into some other religions, and you know, I've concluded that there might be something about this Christianity. If I wanted to become a Christian, how would I do it? And I'm interested in your opinion, but not that much. I want you to show me where it is in the Word. Where is it in the Bible? Can you show me what I need to do to become a Christian? Who could do that? Who would be confident in doing that?
I'll start with John 3:16.
Okay, that's got to be in there somewhere. That's got to be in there somewhere. Anyone else?
Or Romans, all have come short of the glory of God.
Okay.
All have sinned.
Okay, so you got some two good verses, but where's your structure? How would you structure it? And there's not a right way of doing this, by the way. But I think you should know.
I think it would be wise to start, rather than the condemnation of sin,
yeah,
to tell them that God loves them.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Why 100%. He did it.
Yeah. There's two admissions at the beginning. Yes. One is an admission that you sinned, that you've sinned, and second is an admission of God's love.
Yes.
There's two objections at the very beginning. One is more common than the other. One is that people think they're good enough. And if that's the issue, then you need to get them to admit they're not. And the second thing, and it's much rarer these days, you come across people who feel that they'll never be good enough.
Absolutely.
That they can't be loved. That they, if that's the thing, then you would start with admit God's love. Because they readily admit that they've sinned. So you start with God's love. But there's those two elements. So it's an admission, either of your, both, of your sin and of God's love.
Yeah. I've actually written down, find passages that confirm God loves you, whoever you are.
Yeah. Yes.
Which is basically what you've just said.
That's where you start. It's an admission of your own sin and of God's love. And that it's because of your, God demonstrated his love to overcome your sin, which then leads you on. Okay, I'm not sure I'm going to spend a long time on this, because what my challenge for you guys is that there are many mature believers in this room, and I would love to know that you knew how to lead someone. So go away and think about it yourselves, and if you want to spend some time with me, I'd gladly help you to do this. I'd love to, and you can help me to get better too. I want to get better at sharing my faith, and if you want to do that, we can do that together. So please have a little bit of a thought about how you might lead someone to faith. There can't be anything more important than that, and there's no more bigger joy in life than that. None. There isn't.
Can I just give people a few Bible verses?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I've got some on the handout, but you can, yeah, Malcolm, go.
I would use Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I would use Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins.
Yep. So you see on the handout that I'm giving you, so I've got admit, repent, believe, confess, be fruitful. Okay, so then, and then the verses there you can, but you just want to have a few of those just to bring up, because I just think it's much more powerful when you show someone what the Bible has said, not a prayer that we've remembered from the back of the Alpha Handbook. Yeah? Okay, good. All right, so let's move on to, so we now set the scene. So could you